right. Welcome back. Week three of Primetime Props, which I think we should rename the show. I think we should call it Three Smarties and a Schmuck. The Smarties, Justin Bales, Keith Eister, Justin Carlucci. I'll be your schmuck. And we got a 13-game slate, lots to go over today. Again, it feels mushy, this slate, to me. I feel like there's, you know, a lot of these over-unders, these totals are stuck between like 43.5 and 45.5. There's one game that stands out. We're going to save that one for last. Guys, let's dive in. Commanders at home, 2.5-point favorite over the Raiders, or without Jaden Daniels, totals at 43.5. Usually I'm going to throw it to one of you guys to kick this off, but I'm kicking this one off. I got a prop that I love. Marcus Mariota over 30.5 rushing yards. Come on. Who's with me?
I'm with you for sure. He's not the passer that Daniels is. I think they're going to try to run the ball quite a bit here. The running backs room is interesting, but Mariota is the guy for sure that I think we can target.
You think? Do you like it, Bales, or you're gonna go against me? He's going against me.
I'm not gonna go against you. I'm cool with it if you like it. I think the obvious thing that they're gonna want to do is just control the game. If you control the game, you put yourself in a fine spot. I don't know. I don't like much from Washington. I think like if we're looking. Rodriguez, if he's actually playing, or McNichols, like if you want to throw a dart on them for like an anytime touchdown, I think that's kind of interesting. I think McNichols was like plus 450 or something. So, you know, someone has to do something, and I don't think it's going to be with Mariota's arm really. So, you know, you want to throw on one of the running backs or Mariota himself. I think that's pretty fine.
Another thing, though, the Raiders have been hit by the deep ball through two games. I mean, you think there's room for like a McLaurin to like show up? They hooked up with last year pretty well in the two games that Mariota played. I'm not sure what McLaurin's number is, but any love there? Or you just think, again, that they're just going to try to like get in and out of this game, 2 hours, 45 minutes, control the ball, and go home?
I think – go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm with you on the latter of that. I think Washington's going to play pretty conservative here, not put too much trust in Mariota if they can help it. The running backs room with some of those names that they have, they may not be able to run the ball and they might have to take to the air. So it's an interesting angle, but I'm kind of with Bales on this one that they grind the clock. They try to keep possession as long as they can and just squeak out of there with a win without their quarterback.
Luch, anything jumping out at you in DC?
Yeah, I think on the other side, Genty is interesting. The 57.5 number, it's been pretty brutal so far. The Chargers defense is for real. They were in a negative game script. He was on the field a lot less than he was in week one. But in week one, when it was, you know, fairly neutral, all things considered, he played over 80% of the snaps. Eventually, this guy is going to hit a home run. He's going to break a tackle that he normally wouldn't. You know, 130-yard gain, you're over halfway to 57.5. So I think Daniels out helps Genty in general. I think this could be the week if you're a Genty owner who's getting a little pissed off and antsy that he hasn't performed that first round ADP where he was going. So don't love this game, all things considered, but the Genty number, just with the volume that he should get, especially after with the atrocious week that Geno Smith had, it looked like he did not know how to play the quarterback position whatsoever. So I think Genty should get heavy volume and a fairly good game script against the Commanders.
All right, nobody likes this game. Let's move on. First of what it will be five road favorites, it's the Falcons. 5.5-point favorites in Carolina. Total set at 43.5. Bales, what's got your? I know Bijan's got your. You got Bijan written all over this one, huh?
Yeah, I think that I'm taking his rushing yards personally. I think that it's you don't really put running backs near 100 yards. I feel like it should be closer to 100 than the 80 that it's at. The touchdown's kind of ridiculous. Minus 240 is we're getting into the Derrick Henry territory of. Last week, which obviously did not go well. But Carolina just doesn't have a good run defense. At least Cleveland, you know, their defense is good. We were just kind of running a narrative there, which it is what it is. It didn't work out. In terms of just Robinson, Carolina has a very bad run defense. Atlanta, once they get to the point where they just control this game, I think we're going to rely quite a bit on Robinson. Obviously, Algiers there. He's going to take plenty of his carries there. But I just see this as kind of a game where Atlanta pounds the rock. They kind of control the clock and they I don't want to say they get through it, but they kind of relatively easily pick up a division win.
Keith, anything that you're looking at?
I do have something. Kyle Pitts has an interesting role this season. We've waited years and years. One of the best prospects, tight end prospects ever coming out of college, didn't have very little production his first couple of years in the league. But the role looks pretty solid to me through 2 weeks this season. Target share is up over 20%. Even with Darnell Mooney back in the lineup last week, it was 19%. So I saw it the first week. I was like, all right, let's see what happens when Mooney comes back. With Mooney back in the lineup, he still had a solid role. Target share over 20% compared to like 12.5% last year. And the receptions prop is sitting at 3.5. The yards is at like 37.5 last time I saw it. I like the over on both of those against a really bad defense here. Just I think they're undervaluing the role that Pitts has had so far.
Kyle Pitts, man, just strikes fear in the heart of every single person.
It sure does.
What about Justin Luch? What do you got?
I like Tyler Algier. And if the game script goes as Justin Bell says it goes, I think Algier might be in play as well as Bijan. I think there's a world where they both score touchdowns. I think Michael Penix and his offense is fun. I feel like it's not close to being a finished product or complete yet. A lot of young athletes, a lot of talent, some miscues. So I think they can kind of take care of Carolina. And we saw last week that Algier was kind of the Thunder in the Ron Dane role, if you will, for all you James fans. Like that name drop, just hammering the end of the game. I mean, if it's a 2-touchdown lead, there's really no reason to keep running Bijan out there. And that might not be what you want to hear, Bales, but hopefully by that time he's done his damage and it's all good. Algier was at 41.5 earlier this week. Still there, plus 240 to score a touchdown. Kind of really like those odds. It's tough to find good touchdown odds that actually make sense in a decent game script in this day and age. So kind of interested in Algier if I'm going to put together a little touchdown parlay or something like that.
I mean, if we're going Ron Dane, can we at least go Craig Hayward? Oh. Take it back to Ironhead?
We're digging deep now. Someone in the group chat, boys group chat a couple days ago, sent me a Ruben Drones name drop. And I'm like, all right, time to close up shop for the day. That was it for me.
All right. Anything else, guys, on this one? Or should we move on?
I actually kind of like McMillan on the other side. I think, if this game goes how essentially all of us are expecting it to, Carolina's going to be throwing similar to the way they did last week at Arizona. The big thing that I see with McMillan is that he's just such a mismatch. And I don't know necessarily if he's going to be like 10 plus targets every single week, but they did spend premium capital, especially when they obviously needed help defensively. It feels like they were just trying to help out Bryce Young here. And if you guys, I live in Raleigh, so I get the joy of watching Carolina every single week. It's my favorite thing to do. But if you actually watch his stuff, in the first game, he caught like a 40-plus yard pass that there was defensive pass interference, and they ruled it no catch, so they didn't challenge it or anything because they just took the PI. Last week, he caught another long one that was out of bounds. It's just sooner than later, this guy's going to drop 40-plus yards on a single catch. And when you're looking at, mid-60s, getting 60%+ of the yards on one catch is a little too good to pass up.
You've been a little three-game same SGP there, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to compile some of the bets we talk about as we move along here. But, that kind of makes sense. I mean, it's a little scary, but if you have a risk-free bet or something like that, 5-1 on a Atlanta slaughter script with McMillan playing catch-up, in a game where he's really not benched, if it's that bad, makes a lot of sense, honestly.
It's a story. Yeah. All right, let's go to Cleveland, where the Packers, the Vegas, the odds makers are just dangling that 7.5 like dagger over you. 41.5 total. The Packers look incredible, like the best team in football right now. I feel like the spread should be higher. I feel like I'm missing something, but regardless. Keith, what do you like here?
Yeah, I agree with you. The Packers look like the best team in football. It's scary. The defense in particular with the addition of Micah Parsons, and he's not even full yet. Like, this guy gets on the field 80% of the time, and they can only get better from here. So Green Bay is a scary team. I think that Cleveland's going to be trailing in this game. And I have another tight end here. Harold Fannin has had – a better role to start than I think any of us could have imagined. He's been on the field almost 60% of the time, 15% target share, 21% first read rate is what was really impressive to me. They're designing plays for this guy. I don't think that the yardage prop has caught up to the role that he's come out of the gates with. So I like Harold Pan and receiving yards.
Luch, I know you like you like Jacobs to be able to be the first running back to get through this Cleveland defense. After Henry fails last week, you're going to go to Jacobs or are you going under?
Actually, the opposite. I love Josh Jacobs in general as a betting asset, typically as a fantasy football asset. Cleveland's been historically good through two games so far against the run. I know it's only two games, but you have to love what you've seen against a sample size of the big dog, Derrick Henry, and Chase Brown. It's been really impressive. I'm losing fantasy points to look at some team defense data. They're allowing a negative yards before contact per attempt. I don't think I've ever seen that through multiple games. They have the highest stuff rate against the run so far through two games. I love the volume generally that Jacobs will get. He's not always the most efficient runner. I know that was one of his knocks before he went to Green Bay, and the jury's still out, but his volume was just incredible. You know how Carmelo Anthony was the volume shooter, right? Jacobs is the volume running back of the NFL. So I'm out on Jacobs. I don't take a lot of unders in the NFL, but this is one I'm going to hit this week for sure.
Nice. Bales, you like anything here?
Yeah, I actually think that Keith nailed it. I love Fannin. I understand the receiving yards. I don't think that's a bad play at all. I do like that. I'm actually on his receptions. I believe it was 3.5. Getting to minus 150 is getting a little rich. But Green Bay's looked incredible overall. They've actually struggled quite a bit against tight ends. And that kind of has to do with how quick you need to get the ball out against them. When you look at Fannin, he's got a low A dot, which just kind of works well for receptions over yards. And then on top of it, he's playing a lot of snaps in the slot. When you look at Green Bay earlier in the season through the first two games, they've struggled against Ertz when he's been in the slot. I'm blanking on who do they play week one? Detroit. And LaPorta played out of the slot quite a bit in that game. So I do think that his yards is completely fine. I'm just personally on receptions over yards because I just want basically them throwing him the ball versus him having to do anything. And on the other side, I don't necessarily know if I like him, but can I interest anyone in Wicks? Just he's incredible against man coverage. And you know that Cleveland's going to want to run man out there. So I feel like his stuff's a little bit low, but I don't know if I necessarily can pull the trigger myself on him.
He's like the Kyle Pitts of wide receivers.
Yeah.
I have a poor recency bias, but he burnt me last year in best ball a little bit. So I'm past, I understand it, though.
He's going to be on the field in Reed's role. Is that basically what we're saying?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. And, I mean, he looks much better. I don't think he has any drops yet this year, right?
You know what's funny, though? I don't know if he has any drops, but they drafted this guy, Matthew Golden, who was the fantasy darling of camp. And so far, he's running routes on just 56% of dropbacks, 14% air yard share, which is not good. And a modest 7.5% target share through 2 weeks. So hopefully he's a second half hit for those who have invested in him. He's obviously super talented. We shall see, though. Not a good start, though, for the first wide receiver that Green Bay has taken in the first round, probably since my existence. I'm not sure what the data is, but I do like him. Eventually, he will get more involved, but maybe in the short term, it is a play like Wicks or Chris Brooks was seeing some love and through the air. And I don't know, man. I'm just out on the pass game, I think, but I totally get it.
Bales, what are you looking for Wicks? If FanDuel doesn't have – they only have a touchdown for him. They don't have receptions or yards. What would be a yardage prop or reception prop that you'd bite at?
Oh, I would look at receiving yards. I think long as he's – I would assume he would be set in the mid-30s, and as long as he's right around there, I think that it would be fine.
This might be one of those
– 35.5 and a 39.5 out there, so Bales is right on it, right around there.
This feels like a Cal Spears special, like over yards, under receptions, and a touchdown. Put them all together for Wicks, huh?
That actually doesn't sound that bad.
Right. All right, let's go to another road favorite, the Steelers. 1.5 points favorites over the Patriots, 44.5 total. I feel like this game has a little bit of sneaky shootout potential here. I know one of you like Drake May. I can't read my own notes, though. So whoever likes Drake May, jump on in.
Oh, yeah, it's me. Listen, 2 weeks of data for what it is. It's a cruel game in the NFL. We only have like 17 weeks of numbers to work with every year. And in baseball or in the NBA, the sample size patrol will be knocking on your door. But you have to make stands and decide what's real and what's not. I don't know what the answer is with the Steelers defense. I don't think any of us saw this coming. Week one, okay, maybe some people are willing to toss that one out. Keith is sipping a coffee for this because I think he's ready to let it rip. But, you know, the Jets and Justin Fields absolutely demolished them defensively. That's mine. Week two, Seattle. Sam Darnold threw for 295. I mean, let's be real. This isn't a murderer's row of quarterbacks and offenses that Pittsburgh has taken on. What are we going to see against them in Drake May? Listen, week one, New England threw the ball a lot more than I anticipated in neutral situations. Week two, they kind of toned it back a little bit, but they were still pretty aggressive. The boot party kind of fizzled out in week two. I'm not sure where the volume is going to go from Drake May. Seems like he consistently loves Hunter Henry over the past, you know, calendar year. So I think that's fine. But I'm, you know, if he's going to come in fairly loaned in the DFS world, and if, you know, the books are kind of willing to let the jury ride out another week, I like taking some overs on Drake May, and we'll see. It doesn't feel right that Pittsburgh's defense is this bad, but you look at pretty much every team defensive metric across the board, EPA, whatever it may be, the whole nine yard, they're pretty much bottom of the barrel in just about everything. I have a couple of Steelers friends close to home who are analysts in the industry, and they've about had it with the scheme. It seems like everybody is just running directly away from TJ Watt, and the Steelers don't have an answer for it and aren't really moving him around. So a lot of questions we will have answered one way or another this week. I kind of like New England, who is passing more than I thought they would so far to start the year.
Keith, you had your coffee. Do you have something to say about this one?
Not much to add there. I think Justin nailed it. The running back situation is interesting, and I don't think you can really do much with it because of that. Travion Henderson played 34% of snaps in week one, down to 29% in week two. We saw Antonio Gibson get a lot more involved. So I think Justin's on it with leaning into the pass game for the Patriots. The receiving core is so wishy-washy back and forth that I don't think I can take anything there. So I'd be with Justin on the Drake May passing yards. I love him as a DFS play. Justin shouted that out. So if anybody's playing DFS this week, definitely look at, he's really cheap still. And the volume has been there. On the other side, I did have something, and that is Jaylen Warren. Played just 46% of the snaps in week one, was up to 58% of the snaps in week two. Kenneth Gainwell kind of got iced, who played 54% in week one, all the way down to 42% in week two. So Jaylen Warren's clearly the more talented back, I think, in this situation. And Pittsburgh has finally leaned into giving him the work here, it appears. Hopefully that's the trend going forward. If that's the case, his rushing yards and even attempts are a little bit too low.
If I can add quickly, I have the data in front of me. I'm getting old. I'm wearing screen glasses now. I couldn't find my notes, you know, that I had in front of me. They're throwing the ball 63% of the time in neutral game situations via fantasy points. And when they've trailed by 7 points or more, not exactly sure what that sample size is in terms of snaps, they're passing 85% of the time. Again, just 2 weeks, that seems like unsustainable numbers, but it's encouraging from a Drake May passing volume perspective.
Bales, you like anything up in New England?
Yeah, they nailed it. Drake May is a guy that I'm on. I like his passing yards. I think that you guys outlined it exactly how I would, especially on top of you don't really know who he's going to consistently throw the ball to. So it's just easier to, if you project a good game through the air, you just take May. You don't need to project who he's going to throw to. On the other side, I think that Keith nailed it. I just would be going about it a separate way. Jaylen Warren, I think very good option. I just like his receiving yards. I think it's set slightly under 20. He only ran, I believe, 9 routes in week one that got bumped up in week two. And Aaron Rodgers recently said that they just kind of need to find more ways to get Jaylen Warren the ball. If you look at like basically anything Pittsburgh's doing, he's like the only good player on the field for them. I think that they're going to try to find ways to get him the ball in space. Generally, that's through screens. And we saw in previous years, I don't truly know why he lost the receiving job to Kenneth Gainwell. It doesn't really make any sense, but I think that they're correcting that pretty quickly. And we've seen in previous years that Warren is actually a very good receiver. So I think right around 20 receiving yards is just a bit too low for him.
Jeff, you're the vibes guy. What are the vibes with the Steelers?
The vibe, I mean, they can't play defense. I mean, everything that I'm hearing and reading, they're old, they're slow, and, you know, it's just going to be an all-season-long thing. That's why I think this game – and, you know, I keep reading this one stat somewhere. I don't know where, who found it, where it's from. Through two games, again, small sample size, these two teams ranked 31st and 32nd in explosive plays allowed, right? So, I mean, I feel like this game might get – could easily get away from you. And like, and if it does get away from you, May and Warren are the two players, I think, that are the, you know, quote, surest things in the game, should the game, you know, get crazy. As you were talking about DFS earlier, I was trying to build like an onslaught here, but you can't. There's too many, you know, too many choices. You know, for real, you know, they're literally too many choices, and you're left with like $30,000. You know, you can't, it's impossible. But I think this game has potential to get a little crazy. Speaking of crazy, let's go to Philadelphia, defending Super Bowl champs, 3.5-point favorites over the Rams. My pick here is going to be the same as always. It's one of those flow charts. Is Puka Nacua's receiving prop total receptions 8.5 or under? If yes, go to question two. Is Puka Nacua still have all four limbs? If yes, place wager. It's at 6.5 still. Why? How is it still at 6.5? How is Puka Nacua's reception prop at 6.5? He's only going to catch 100 balls this year. He might catch 200 balls this year. I will hit that from now until the end of time. But I know you, Luch, you like the other guy. You like Adams.
I like both of them. And if you look at their numbers, and Google Chrome is not cooperating with me, but Devontae Adams actually has a higher air yard share. It's only by like 10%. And again, it's 2 weeks of data and basically an identical target share. And you wouldn't know it because the world just loves Puka Nacua, and rightfully so. I think I have him on every one of my home league teams. I love him too. And I think you're right. But I think there's also a world where they both go over early in the season on some of their props, like they did last week, by the way. If the game script allows it. Now, if they play with a lead, I don't know. I think Jalen Carter back from spitting?
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, maybe he makes a difference for Philly up front, and, you know, they stuff Kyron and company a little bit more, and they're forced to play a little bit one-dimensional. I'm glad that this game was played at the Link, you know, in the playoffs last year, because you could finally toss away that dog shit narrative that Matt Stafford can't play outside. I think he proved that, and they were one play away from bouncing the Eagles. And, you know, a whole entire playoff picture would have been written. That didn't happen, obviously, and Philly went on and went all the way. But they were right there, and it was closer than people probably remember or want to admit. So I like Devontae Adams, and it's just a case of their numbers are pretty identical, and Devontae Adams' line is much lower than Puka. Again, I think they could both go over. There are very few teams where the target tree is so condensed, where the volume is massive, the scheme is very good, and everybody's healthy. When you have all of those things, plus the Eagles secondary hasn't really wowed me so far through two games, I think there's a world where maybe they both go over again, as long as the weather's good and, you know, the stars align. I love the volume, and it's predictable. Unlike the Bills game last night, you talked about New England. Buffalo is one of those teams where not only do you not know where the ball is typically going through the air, what did he hit, 9 receivers last night, Josh Allen? It's a low volume attack now. And we'll get to talk about some more pass volume in a little bit. This isn't the case with the Rams. This is a better and a DFS player's delight because you know where the ball's going one way or the other. And Sean McVay is going to figure out a way to get Puka and Devontae the football.
Bales, what do you like here, especially on the other side of the ball? Like, is the Eagles offense just stuck in neutral and will remain that way? Or have they been like just doing whatever they have to do to win, and maybe they have to open it up this week?
Truthfully, I think they're kind of an offense that is just like their motto is basically like, let's take what the opponent's going to give us and whatever they give them. They have enough good players around in their skill positions that like it doesn't matter. They don't need to give AJ Brown 10 to 15 targets to win the game. And you know, if that's the case, they're not going to. I think I'm not really on anyone for Philly at the moment. If I were to be, it would probably be Saquon rushing yards. I do think that that line is going to do relatively well against the Rams. My biggest concern is that I don't believe the Rams have given up many explosives, and you know, Saquon's number is just very high. Generally, when you hit that high of a number, you're going to need, you know, 1 to 2 explosive plays, you know, 20 plus yards. And I don't necessarily know if we're going to see that, which, you know, gives me a little bit of hesitancy. But I do think that Barkley is reasonably priced and would probably be the guy that I go if I were to play someone for Philly.
What did he have, like 500 yards, over 500 yards in the two games against the Rams last
year? He was over 200 in both of them.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Keith, what about you? Is there something here that you like?
I don't have anything to add for this game.
All right, let's move it on. Let's go to another road favorite, the Colts, who don't need a punter. They are 4.5-point favorites in Tennessee, totals at 43.5. Bales, you're going right back to the Colts, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's two people that I definitely want to play. One is Tyler Warren. I know that Keith's also on him, so because there's someone else, I'll let Keith talk about Warren. I think that it's relatively obvious. But the second one is Daniel Jones. He set at 210 passing yards. Either you think Daniel Jones is having the craziest fluke start to a season and is actually like one of the worst quarterbacks ever, or we're just wrong about the number that we should set it at. He's dominated early on. We've seen several quarterbacks that have gone from being extremely bad to very, very viable options as they move teams and go somewhere else for after the team that drafted them. On top of it, Daniel Jones wasn't this unbelievably bad guy in New York. He had some games where he showed the flashes. I don't think that Daniel Jones is like a great quarterback. I don't even know if Daniel Jones is a long-term starter in the NFL. But when you surround him with the guys that Indy has surrounded him with, 210 yards through the air isn't a lot at all. Also, matchup against Tennessee is very good. I think that obviously they're going to continue to lean on Jonathan Taylor. I do think that that's a concern. But we saw last week, Jonathan Taylor can go absolutely crazy, and Daniel Jones can still very easily beat 210 yards.
Keith, is Warren, is that the bail set you up? Is it true? You love Warren?
I do love Tyler Warren. I mean, we used to talk about rookie tight ends and needing a year or so to kind of get involved in the offense, and that just has not been the case. I talked about Harold Fannin earlier. Tyler Warren has had an awesome role right out of the gates, and I don't see any reason that it's going away. 25% target share, 24.5% first read rate. He's ran a route on 77% of dropbacks. Like, he is a full-time player in an awesome role. The numbers are just way too low for him out there. I wrote this up last week, and he hit it on the first play of the game. He's like, the role is just way better than what the Lions are out there for him.
Yeah, Keith, you have been on a bit of a heater. That and first touchdown last Thursday night. I mean, if you guys aren't checking out props.com, all the stuff's free, 100% free. Tons of articles, tons of bets. We have a YouTube channel now. We're in modern civilization. We're in 2025. We're moving up in the world. So give us a subscription. Follow us. We're live here every Friday. We appreciate you. Just doing this housekeeping stuff to make our captain Jeff's job a little bit easier because I'm a nice guy. But seriously, thank you all.
So at least I don't think it makes it easier. It just makes it get done because I would have completely forgotten to do that.
Anyway, speaking of done, the Titans are done. And that makes me sad. I'm sad. Depressed every Sunday from 1 to 4. What are you going to do? You know, it's another year in the books. Cam Ward deserves better. He's the shiny car at the foreclosed house gift, whatever it's called. You know, the Ferrari that's in the house is falling down. J.C. Latham out again. His line is atrocious. Maybe Will Levis deserved better last year. I don't know. You know, I'm going nuts from questioning things like that. But also in terms of Jonathan Taylor, Tavondre Sweat is out again, and that's a big deal to run the football, because if there's one good thing about the Titans other than Cam Ward, it's Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. Sweat is out, so that's trouble for Tennessee. It's gonna be a year, because I'm not sure Brian Callahan's the guy either. Next year will be fun. Lead the league in cap space available, but it's gonna be ugly. What is Tennessee gonna do? They're gonna trail. They're gonna trail off in this year. And it's not just tight ends that are getting involved early. Alec Ayomanner probably should have been drafted a round or two earlier. I think that was a brilliant pick. where he landed. Tennessee actually traded up to get him. 41% air yard share through 2 weeks, 65% of routes on dropbacks, and 21% target share, which is fine when your team is most likely going to trail. So eventually they're going to connect on a deep shot or two here. His lines are still too low. I mean, he's being treated as if he is a part-time, you know, rookie playing 25% of the snaps. And what is it? 35 and a half. He was at 31 and a half on Wednesday. So we're chasing money already. Again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Alt lines, you want to chase them when the normal line is pretty low and reasonable. And, you know, the player is kind of outperforming, you know, the historical snap count of a fourth round rookie. I like the idea of, you know, rationally playing IO man or alt lines into the 50s and the 60s this week. And that's all I got for you, because I can't believe I'm even going to watch this atrocious football game this week, but I'm going to.
Here's a quick question for you. So is it too late? FanDuel is 80-1. I'm sure we could find it a little bit better somewhere else. But is it too late to put in a little Daniel Jones MVP? Futures bet? Daniel
Jones MVP.
Well, let's just talk it through for 1 second. Jaden Daniels, hurt. Joe Burrow, out for the year, right? Lamar looks good. Josh Allen looks good.
Modest looks good.
Hurts, I'm not buying it. Justin Herbert has risen up. What if the Colts had, listen, last year at this time, if somebody had said, what about maybe Sam Darnold for MVP, you know, I'd be laughed out of the room also. But by week 15, people are like, oh man, Sam Darnold might win the fucking MVP, right? So I don't know. I mean, listen, 80-1 is, you know, he's not going to win the MVP. But what if the Colts end up going 14-3?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They have two automatic wins against the Titans. So they're going to be 3-0 this week, and those odds will be even worse. Why don't you get a real ticket and sell that thing on Prop Swap in like week 9 or something? Someone will buy it. Someone will buy it if he's going off. That's the move right there.
There you go. That's why I did preface this show today. Three smarties and one schmuck. That's why I gave the Jones for MVP pick. Let's go now to Tampa. Buccaneers, 6.5-point home favorites over the Jets. Missing Justin Fields, which may or may not be good for them. We'll find out. Total set at 43.5. I got no notes here. This seems like a relatively straight ahead game where the Bucs are probably going to want to run the ball and the Jets are probably going to want to throw the ball, because that's where the defenses align. Anything? I'll open the floor. Anyone want to jump in on this one?
I'll go first. And I will just say I had a nice week last week, but of course we flopped miserably bales on the bet that we agreed on. And Breece Hall just sold the living hell out of us. I had a crazy parlay I put in, and I think it hit 7 of 8 legs, and he was the 8th leg. So the bet we, you know, combined our thoughts on and thought it was a fantastic play sold us. That hurt. That hurt a little bit. That's all I'm going to say. I just think on the other side, I think this game sucks, and I'm not touching it. But as much Igbuka love as there is, and rightfully so, Mike Evans is still the alpha in Tampa. 44% air yard share. I mean, it's absurd. No one's talking about it. 27% target share. He's still the play on Tampa Bay in my eyes.
Tough matchup, though, with the going up against Sauce, right?
I guess. I mean, they'll move him around. They should have a couple extra possessions because then again, it's 2025. I was about to say I can't envision Tyrod Taylor doing positive things with the football, but who am I to say? I would just think, you know, maybe the extra possession or two might outweigh the tough matchup with Sauce.
Here, let me throw this out to the group here. How do you get a nickname like Sauce? I think, you know, I'd like a nickname like that.
Well,
I don't know the story behind it.
Me either. I mean, you know, does maybe grandma just, like make a nice bolognese?
Yeah, someone Sauce in his family. I'm not sure. I feel like it's probably a story that might not be appropriate for gambling Twitter.
It's possible. It's possible. Well, if it's not appropriate for gambling Twitter, then I think we could all just shut off our computers at this point, because everything seems pretty appropriate. Justin or Keith, either you have anything from this game?
I don't love it. I think Bucky Irving's like slightly okay, but I don't want to put money on a guy that's missing several offensive linemen. That's if his line was healthy, I would play Bucky Irving here. On the other side, if you want to throw like Breece Hall receiving yards, feel free, but it doesn't feel good to do it. This is more or less a game I'm just staying away from.
Keith?
I'd lean under on the Breece Hall rushing yards. I like the angle that Bales just threw out there on the receiving yards. But Tampa Bay, we know, is a pass vulnerable defense. They've shut down the run for years. They're extremely stout up front. So with Tyrod Taylor back there, he's not going to be able to loosen him up at all. I think they're just going to jam the box to stop the run, and Breece Hall is going to have a really tough time of it on the ground.
Another game that I think we're all collectively shrugging our shoulders at right now is the Vikings at home, 3-point favorites over the Bengals. You know, look, this game looked great on paper a few weeks ago, and now we got Carson Wentz back in our lives. We got Jake Browning. I think to me, the biggest question, you know, everyone's down on Wentz. We've seen Wentz, you know, Wentz has had, you know, he had a few good years here and there, but, you know, everyone's down on Wentz. But the question becomes now, and maybe JJ McCarthy is the exception to the rule so far, but can McConnell do for Wentz what he did for Darnold last year? Like, might Wentz be a reasonable play here? Anyone? Maybe. Yeah.
the thing
is, I need to see it first. Go ahead.
The thing about Minnesota, one, I think they are going to hand the ball off to Jordan Mason 20 plus times, and they are going to do whatever it takes to let him win the game for him. So I do think that Jordan Mason rushing yards is relatively good. I think you can add in receiving if you really want to. I would just focus on his rushing. The thing about everyone else for Minnesota is that it's almost impossible for Wentz to play worse than McCarthy did. So like it's not a huge drop off, I would assume. Like at least I don't think Carson Wentz is good. I think he used to be, and then, you know, he had his injury issues, and now I don't think he's good anymore, but it's hard for him to play worse than McCarthy did. And if that's the case, you know, like Justin Jefferson still has a relatively low total for how talented he is. I don't know if I would be playing it. I think for me personally, you know, just Jordan Mason is where I'm at for this. But it's kind of interesting that Wentz at least has a little more upside than what we've seen. I'm not talking about as a whole for JJ McCarthy or anything. Obviously, McCarthy is the guy that you want. You're not going to play Carson Wentz over him and whatnot. But I'm saying for what McCarthy has done, Wentz minimally can do that. You know what I mean?
Keith, what about you? You like Wentz, you like Jefferson, you like Mason, you like Chase, you like Browning, or say just get me out of this game?
Pretty much get me out of this game. I do like the Jordan Mason call. I think he's going to get the ball a ton, but I'm not on anything here.
You know, what you said earlier, it holds true, right? Let's see what happens here. I mean, there's a world which we wake up Monday morning and we're like, wow, Carson Wentz has unlocked the Vikings, and wow, the Bengals can still move the ball without Burrow. I also think we wake up Monday morning, this game is, you know, 13-7, and both these team seasons are over.
18 and a half rushing attempts for Jordan Mason is a big number. I agree. He's going to be the bell cow, and he should be, but that's a big number. For fantasy purposes, wheels up. I mean, if you invested in Jordan Mason at any point, Jeff, how many best ball teams did you do? And how much Jordan Mason did you have?
No? Not enough and hardly any. So
I was hoping you were going to be like 100%. I drafted one.
No. I have a lot of Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen?
Yeah, that hasn't worked out so hot.
Yeah, no, I agree, though, with Bales. I mean, Carson Wentz can't be worse than J.J. McCarthy. It could be borderline objectively just as bad, but we know he's going to take a couple of deep shots because he's been sitting on the bench for months, and he's itching to go, and that's just who he is. He has a big arm. Whether or not he uses it in the right way or not, we'll see, but I think you're right, and Jordan Addison comes back next week, so, you know, those Jefferson lines might not be hanging around at the number they are much longer.
All right, I'm taking Wentz. I've convinced myself. 203 passing yards. Come on.
That's love.
How many times have we seen, like, you know, the veteran who, like, everyone's given up on come back? And, you know, like, it's happening this year with Joe Flacco. What happened last year with Darnold? 203 yards is not a lot. I'm in. That's it. I've made my decision.
It's a really gross one, but I'm kind of interested in Carson Wentz over 3.5 rushing yards. I mean, that's just – it's a morose take. But in 2022, he started 8 games. He hit over 3.5 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. I mean, if he's going to do whatever it takes to win, I just feel like there's going to be a couple of plays where he's running for his life, and he's just going to go do Carson Wentz things. So
for those of you listening at home, the bet of the day is a same game parlay, Wentz over passing yards and rushing yards. Let's go to the next game.
This is put in his MVP ticket.
And Wentz for MVP. That's right. The Jaguars are 1.5 point favorites over the Texans, 44.5. Again, this feels like another game that is like, yeah, both these teams, I feel like both these teams should be playing better than they are. Neither one is. The Jags are favorites at home. I guess it makes sense, but I don't know. There's not one thing that jumps out at me, unlike Carson. There's no Carson Wentz in this game, is what I'm trying to say for me. Keith, yeah. Go ahead, Luch, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, if there's anything that stood out about Houston, and that was a grind of a game that we witnessed a couple of days ago, their front seven is really good, and they're really good against the run, at least so far. So, you know, I like the volume that ETN should get, especially with Tank out of the picture, but they've just been so out of sync, and we've been talking a little bit pre-show. I mean, there's so much talent there. I guess if just gun to head, Nico Collins makes sense. I think, you know, I thought he was going to have a massive game last week and when he had that ridiculous touchdown catch. But again, you know, offensive line, as boring as it is, it wins at every level of football, whether you're in middle school, high school, college, or the NFL. There's no time. That Texans line might have taken another step back from last season, and it's affecting everything. One of the reasons why Sam Darnold played so well last year in Minnesota, piggybacking off that conversation, is they've had a consistently good offensive line there during O'Connell's tenure for like 7 or 8 years, and even dating back a little further. They've invested so much assets, and they've hit on their draft picks and brought in a couple of guys that a good offensive line makes a bad quarterback at least look pretty good. And I'm not calling Sam Darnold bad because he went out there and shredded the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and we don't know how good they are either. But C.J. Stroud, I feel for him. He was running for his life, and it's really just throwing everything out of whack. And I know the Jaguars defense isn't anything to write home about, but I still think they'll be able to you know, garner some pressure. I think the four of us can run a dime package and at least have a couple of pressures, you know, against Houston and C.J. Stroud if we had to.
Keith, Justin, anything in this game?
I'm not seeing anything that I really like here.
So going off of what Luch just said, I actually am on C.J. Stroud rushing yards. It was set at 18. I'm not sure what it's at now. It was at 18.5. I believe I put it yesterday. C.J. Stroud said coming into the season he's going to run more. He since then has indeed run more. And Jacksonville is just not really a team that stops quarterbacks from running all that much. Bryce Young, I believe, went for like 40 in week one. And then, you know, obviously Joe Burrow got hurt early. Jake Browning's not really the guy that's going to torch a defense on the ground. So I think that anything under 20 for C.J. Stroud is still pretty good for him.
Yeah, I just looked. It's up by 19.5, so still under 20. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock games, 4 o'clock East Coast at least, where honestly, this is one of the more entertaining, you know, late Sunday slates I've seen in a long time. Let's start in Seattle, where the Seahawks are 7.5 point favorites over the fastest / worst team in the league, probably. That's the Saints at 41.5 total. Everybody likes JXN. I think I like him too. I'm ready to put on the still has four limbs, bet the overs. I know Justin Bales and Keith, you both love him. You could duke it out. I'm just talking tandem.
Bales gave me Warren, so I'll give him JSN.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's simple. They're throwing the ball a ton to him. His target share is over 40%. It leads the NFL. His air yard share is over 60%, also leads the NFL. Saints love to play fast. People don't – I said this last week in the Pittsburgh-Seattle game. Seattle likes to play fast. I know they like to run the ball, but they do like to play fast. While we've been on this podcast, Zach Charbonnet just actually got downgraded to doubtful, so it looks like he's not going to play. That probably throws in a few more passes for Seattle. I also think, obviously, you know, that really upgrades Ken Walker. I think that he's probably a pretty good option now. But, yeah, JSN, you can take virtually whatever you want. I'm personally on his yards. I think you can take his receptions if you want as well. They're going to pepper him with targets, and I actually just think that he's an absurdly talented receiver, one of those guys that came out of the Ohio State kind of, I don't even know what you would call it, quartet of receivers that just keep dominating everything. It's just too low of a total. I feel like they haven't caught on that he's going to be one of the top guys in the NFL this year.
Pile on, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, Bales nailed it. League-leading target rate, league-leading first read rate. Like, JSN is just the dude in this offense. And the Charbonnet news that just dropped is even better. If you're in our Discord, I already dropped this JSN prop at, I think it was 68.5 that we got it at already. I wrote that up Thursday morning. That number's going up because Seattle has not shown a willingness to lean on Kenneth Walker as a bell cow. Like, he's not going to get over 20 carries, I don't think, even if they control this game. That means even more volume for JSN in my mind. So I think that number's going up. He's had over 100 yards in the first two games, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. Like, it's the best role in the NFL currently. I'm all in.
Luch?
I mean, you guys pretty much said it all. At what point is Cooper Kupp's line too low? Especially, first of all, I'm a little worried for Kenneth Walker's health if he's going to get like 90% of the snaps. This is what
people do they have, though. That's the issue.
I know.
There's no one else in that backfield.
I know. Cooper Kupp, I mean, the numbers aren't fantastic. He only has 11 targets, but that's good for a 19% target share. I mean, when the guy across from me has a 40% target share, you know, what are you supposed to do? But, I mean, his line is just sitting in the 40s. You mentioned the Saints pace, Bales. I think that's a good call. It helps out everybody on the Seattle side of the ball. Did I get that right? The Saints were playing fast? Or was Seattle playing?
Yeah, Saints lead the NFL in seconds per play.
So, I mean, that kind of helps everybody. So I think Cooper Kupp lines are a little bit too low. There's going to be a game where he has like 70 or 80 yards. I mean, he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. And he's proven to not be washed up. So Kupp, if I'm looking at alt lines, I mean, I don't mind sprinkling in a little Cooper Kupp, like 60 yards is not unreasonable. So it should be interesting here. I mean, we're talking ourselves into a Seattle stack, and I don't know how I feel about it. But, you know, on the other side, Spencer Rattler's been playing pretty good football. I don't really like anything in particular, but I feel like it's worth giving a Spencer Rattler shout out. And at this point, I mean, there's no reason to not let him run out the rest of the season. He's been pretty good.
It's Olave is interesting to me because he keeps peppering Olave with targets. Like, if they could figure this out, I think Olave is, you know, it's one of those things where we're just going to be a week too late probably because it does not feel good betting on it. But, I mean, how many targets? I think Olave's got double-digit targets in both games, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's not a question as much, unless someone knows it off the top of their head.
I know, but also it's worth noting, you know, Juwan's up to 42.5. He was in the 30s.
Johnson's the guy I like. I mean, his target share is crazy. He's averaging 10 targets a game. I think his target share at tight end is the third in the NFL. And first is Dallas Goedert, who only played in one game. If you take him out, Johnson is only behind Trey McBride. He's right above Tyler Warren. And the other like weird thing for him is that his air yards aren't crazy. So they're like high percentage completions and whatnot. So receptions, yards. I think Juwan Johnson is a really good option. I do also think that Olave, I think that the Saints are just playing, they're playing really good football for stats. They love pushing the pace. And if you're going to play that fast, you know, people are going to get extra plays, more stats. And on top of it, I agree with Luch. I don't think that Rattler's that bad. He's not like the face of the franchise, but he's actually not like you're just completely avoiding him either.
Spencer Rattler. It just sounds like the name of like a somebody's house my parents wouldn't have let me like play with when I was a younger kid. You're not going to Spencer Rattler's house, are you? You know,
or the star of a football movie where the bad boy turns good and ends up leading the team to, you know, the varsity state championship. I don't know, Shane Falcon. I was just thinking of maybe Spencer Rattler's year. We just don't know yet.
It could be. All right, let's go to another very entertaining game on paper. The Chargers at home, where they'll be outnumbered like 8-1 in the stands, I'm sure, against the Broncos. Their Chargers are 3-point favorites, 45.5 total. We know where the ball's going when Justin Herbert throws the ball. And Keith, there's three guys that he's going to throw to, and you seem to like one of them in particular.
Yeah, I love this offense in particular. I think Justin Herbert is taking a leap forward this season. I think if you're betting somebody who's not a favorite for the MVP right now, Justin Herbert would be my guy. He looks incredible. The Chargers look like Super Bowl contenders. I'm in on this team, particularly this offense. And one of the things that we saw at the end of last year is they started to lean way more pass heavy, and that has carried over to this season. This offense is fully in the hands of Justin Herbert. I like Herbert over passing yards. His three weapons all have target rates over 20%. That's Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, and Quentin Johnston. It's just an offense that I'm interested in buying. They cannot, especially the passing attack. They have not been able to run the ball, and Herbert's just been out there slinging it. Keenan Allen is the one that actually leads the team in target share at 26%, 24% first read percentage. He's ran 49% of his routes from the slot. Like, this is a great role for Keenan Allen. We weren't sure what to expect with him coming back to the team, but he looks like he's right next to McConkey as the 1B in this option. And McConkey's banged up. I don't know if we've got an injury report from them yet today, but McConkey has missed some practice this week. So something to keep an eye on. But I really like Keenan Allen, both the receptions at 4.5 and the receiving yards. It was down in the low 40s. 48.5 is what I ended up getting in at. And it's over 50 in some places. But I still like that up to like 54.5 on Keenan Allen receiving yards.
Bales, this game, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm also on Keenan Allen. I think I like his receptions at 4.5. I do think we need to point out that you said Keenan Allen is the 1B to Ladd McConkey's 1A. I think we're forgetting about Quentin Johnston, who is
right there,
arguably the greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL. He does look really good. I think obviously I'm joking about that, but yeah, Keenan Allen receiving yards on the other receptions. I'm on. Receiving yards are fine too. Talking too fast here. On the other side, Troy Franklin looks like he's poised to take on a major role. You know, Sean Payton isn't a guy you can ever trust that much. But Franklin did play a pretty heavy role in week one. His role got even bigger in week two. And we kind of know that he has the Oregon connection with Bo Nix there. So I do think that Franklin's receiving yards are a little bit too low, especially knowing that the Chargers will give up yards after the catch. And that's kind of where Franklin is the go-to guy for Denver.
First of all, oh, you're a cat guy too? I love that.
I am a cat guy, yeah.
My biggest gamble of the week was leaving my office door open to see if my two orange cats would come in or not. So far, so good. Just to piggyback off that, now that I know how to clip audio, because I can add that to my resume, you better watch out, because now I can clip that you said Quentin Johnson is the best wide receiver of all time. I can double down.
You clip that, you tag me, everything. I have been saying Quentin Johnson is way underrated for years now.
Well, last year wasn't fantastic, but the only missing element was him actually catching the football. He was getting open game after game. So kudos to him for catching the football in 2025. But just to piggyback off that, I was going to talk about Troy Franklin, and I was kind of joking earlier this week comparing Sean Payton to Mike Shanahan when he used to juggle those multiple running backs around like 15 years ago when everyone was playing home leagues. And you're right, but his role has grown. And the Chargers, we talked about the historically good through two games Cleveland Brown defense, but the Chargers have the third best defensive yards before contact per attempt against running backs so far. Their run D has been great. Granted, week one was against what looks like a broken Kansas City rushing attack. On the flip side, though, I know Kansas City is not on main slate. Maybe they will get going. Maybe the Chargers are that good against the run. So I do think the ball will be put in the air a little bit more. The Chargers defense is pretty well-rounded, but I like Troy Franklin. He's another guy where his line is in the 30s that maybe – I'm talking myself into like a cheap Brad Robin with some alt numbers here with like Troy Franklin and Io Manor and Cooper Kupp, because it seems like hitting 60 or 70 yards for these guys are in the realm of possibility. I really like Franklin a lot. And just to piggyback off of the discussion about the Saints passing the ball, according to Fantasy Points, in neutral situations, the Saints are passing the ball a league-leading 72% of the time, and that's through 72 plays. And guess who ranks fourth? The LA Chargers. I mean, that was one thing that we had question marks when Harbaugh took over. He's just going to have this old school approach. He's going to run the snot out of the football. A, they can't run the football this year, and B, they're not. So kudos to them to realizing, you know, what maybe their strengths are, at least early in the season. And I wish someone loved me as much as Jim Harbaugh loves Justin Herbert. I probably shouldn't be saying that getting married in 6 days. She's not home right now anyway. But, I mean, what a bromance they have. Kudos to them and their, you know, work friendship and trust they have in one another. So, Saints are passing, Chargers are passing. It's wheels up for Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston.
All right, let's go to the San Francisco area where the Niners are 3-point favorites over the Cardinals. 45.5 is the total. Bales, there's this guy, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's decent. He's okay.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's I don't understand his receiving prop. I took it at 36.5 earlier in the week. It doesn't make any sense. I was pretty high on it then. The more that I think about it, the higher I become on it. They have Ayuk's injured, George Kittle's injured. Jennings then popped up with re-aggravated his injury. I'm assuming he plays, but even if he does, they're just throwing the ball a ton to McCaffrey. He's extremely good. Arizona's not a defense that you're going to be overly concerned about. You can hit running backs against them. I believe Chuba Hubbard had 30-plus yards against them, and we all know he's not really even relatively close to the receiver that Christian McCaffrey is. I don't know. There's not that much to say about it besides, like, you're basically getting a guy who's good enough to play wide receiver in the mid-30s, but also getting matchups against safeties and linebackers. It just makes sense for San Francisco to keep attacking it, and I think that's what they're going to do.
I guess all the props are down because we don't know who's – I guess Purdy might be quarterbacking. Is that what's going on? I'm guessing. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, Mac Jones was all right last week. I mean, we kind of talked about it.
We did talk about it. Yeah.
Not much of a downgrade. I mean, Keith, what did you see out of Mac Jones? Last week, Bell said there's not much of a drop-off, and we kind of agreed with him. I mean, it's a good system where, you know, pretty much anyone can look competent.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. Shanahan has loved Mac Jones. I heard you guys talk about that a little bit last week too, and that came to fruition. He looked just fine out there. I don't think it's much of a downgrade to Purdy from Purdy. Purdy has been practicing limited, so I don't know why they would rush him back with as good as Jones looked last week, but apparently he does have a chance to play here. So,
anyone have anything to say about Ricky Pearsall?
Generally,
I think a lot of people liked him last week, and he did nothing.
Generally speaking, I have no problem going back to Ricky Pearsall. I probably just won't bet it, though, because we ran through like a freight train of bets that we like on the show. And by the way, this parlay slip was just me trying to keep track, and then my ADD took over and I stopped. So I have like some of the bets we were talking about, and then I couldn't keep up. But just real quick, so I don't forget, I was scrolling through some injury reports while we were live, and this is still fresh because we just talked about the Broncos, but Evan Ingram is out. Not like he was getting targeted a lot, but it's one more trusted pass catcher that would be in the way of anything Troy Franklin could possibly be doing. So really like Troy Franklin even more than I did 5 minutes ago. But I have nothing more on Pearsall for you. Sorry.
That's all right. All right, let's go to the last game on the slate. Highest total by 5 points, at least last time I checked. And that's the Cowboys. 1.5-point road favorites in Chicago. That line flipped. The Bears were 1.5-point favorites. I mean, I think I could probably speak for everybody here. If you see a bet that has an over next to it, you should might as well just go ahead and hit it.
Keith? Yeah, I'm leaving the floor for Keith Eyster because he was waiting the entire show for this, and I'm just going to shut my trap, and I'm going to let him take this one.
I mean, Jeff just nailed it. Anything that has an over is in play for me. I think this game could put up 80 points. I really do. The Bears' defense is just an absolute train wreck. They have not been able to stop anyone outside of J.J. McCarthy for a half. Then he absolutely destroyed them in the fourth quarter as they came back from multiple scores down. J.J. McCarthy hasn't been able to move the ball at all since that time. Jalen Johnson is out. Kyler Gordon is out. T.J. Edwards is out. Like, this defense isn't that good to begin with. And now three of their best players are out. Grady Jarrett is on the injury report as well. Like, this Bears defense is decimated. Dak and the Cowboys should be able to do whatever they want. CeeDee Lamb receiving yards would be my first look, but I think you could go to any number of guys in this game. Dak passing yards I'm in on. George Pickens receiving yards I'm in on. I even think you could hit some Javonte Williams stuff. Jake Ferguson is in play for me. Literally all of the Cowboys overs. And I think the Bears can keep up in this game. Rome Odunze would be the Bears guy that I look at. We've thought that Rome could maybe flip DJ Moore by the end of the season as the wide receiver one. I'm here to tell you, he's already done it. Rome Odunze is the wide receiver one in this Chicago Bears offense. He looked awesome last week, scored 2 touchdowns. He's leading the team in target share and first read rate. I'm all in on Rome as means for the Bears to keep up. And I think they will do that because the Cowboys defense isn't anything to be afraid of either after losing Micah Parsons. So this has shootout written all over it. I'm in on over everything.
Bells?
Yeah, the guys that I like are Lamb and Adunze, but I'm not going to talk you off of basically anyone. I'll play devil's advocate for a quick second, though.
Please.
Chicago has, through two games, granted, again, two-game sample. We have such limited information. They've blitzed less than 10% of the time. It's the lowest in the NFL. Dak Prescott historically has been better when opponents blitz him. He's obviously at his best when he's kept clean. Every single quarterback in the NFL is better when they aren't under pressure. But Chicago has gotten reasonable pressure for the lack of blitzing, and Dak has been better against the blitz. So do we think that there's any situation where this is kind of a letdown spot just based on how Dennis Allen has kind of been playing defense and just historically what Dak has struggled with?
I don't think the Bears have the personnel to keep up with them.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I was just kind of throwing out. Yeah, this could be a thing. But, yeah, I agree. I think the Bears are way too hurt for this game, and I think that someone like CeeDee Lamb's just way too good.
Again, devil's advocate here. Is it possible that they just put the ball in Javonte's belly 25 times?
It's possible. I like Jake Ferguson a lot. You know, that I liked him before you gave me that info. I knew from previous years that CeeDee Lamb has been like a single high coverage merchant, if you will, like just dominating single high coverages. So I'm not questioning that he won't get the volume, but you know, if they're going to play super conservative and make Dak kind of take what they give him, it kind of screams like a pretty big Jake Ferguson game, like 39.5, I think he's at. I actually really like that. So I think it's going to be interesting. And Micah Parsons is a big deal, but I think Deron Bland was noticeably severely missed last week, obviously. I think that's almost as big of a loss as Micah Parsons in the current state of the Cowboys. So I like Odunze a lot as well. I mean, Keith, did it just take Ben Johnson getting in the fold to realize this guy is probably better than DJ Moore and I can use him in different ways? Were we missing the Romo Odunze breakout last year because they didn't have Ben Johnson in the mix?
I think that's definitely possible. I mean, they didn't have a competent play caller all season long. So, I think the short answer there is yes. We knew Odunze was talented. He just wasn't used correctly last season. We're seeing him used correctly now.
I mean, we haven't seen many 50.5 game totals, and this one is staring at us right in the face. So, I'm with you. Someone's definitely going to put up points. I'm not sure who it is, but for your mental sanity on Sunday, buddy, I know you're a resident Bears fan. I hope Chicago pulls this one out for you because I didn't pencil in 0-3 for the Bears to start off the year.
Yeah, it has not looked great out there.
No, it's the craziest stat to me in the whole world is how the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. That is unbelievable to me. Like for the last 40 years, people have been throwing the ball. Like 4,000 yards is like the, you know, cost to get into the building. And they can't have one guy do it. Just that's incredible to me. And I don't think it's happening this year. All right. We're gonna go best bets and then we're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna jump in. I'm again Puka 6.5 receptions. I will be betting that forever. JXN also is at 6.5 receptions. I think both of them together makes a lovely little parlay, but I'm a fish, so don't listen to me. Bales, best bet. What do you got?
Yeah, I was going to go Bijan Robinson. I'm changing it. I'm going Christian McCaffrey over 36.5 receiving yards. If they don't put it up or they put it up drastically higher, Bijan Robinson over, I believe it was at 81.5 rushing yards. Those two are kind of interchangeable for me, but I was slightly lean McCaffrey.
All right, Keith, what do you got? Best bet.
There's a couple that I really like out there. I think with a couple that have moved already on us, JSN is certainly one of my top targets this week. I like Tyler Warren a ton as well. The one I'm going with here is Keenan Allen. Let's go over 4.5 receptions for Keenan Allen.
Love it. All right, Luch, you give us your best bet and then take us home.
Yeah, I like Devontae Adams earlier in the week. I still like him. We're missing about 6 yards of value on it now. I still think he's squirrely in play, especially if you want to ladder him a little bit. Alec Iomanner is not steering me wrong. His number is still really low for his role in that in the Titans offense. You know, maybe Calvin Ridley, who's been underwhelming too and disappointing, will see some Chevarius Ward. So give me that 40% air yard share for Iowa Manor, who could cover it in one play, even if Cam Ward doesn't go nuclear. Well, what's your best bet? You can't just fly under the radar.
I gave you mine. I like over 6.5 receptions for Puka, and I also like over 6.5 receptions for JXN. I think numbers are legitimately 2 receptions too low.
We're in week 3, and I've already tuned you out, and that's me. I mean, I'm making tabs here. I just assumed you didn't give us the pick. I'm out here making accusations. That one's on me. But no, anyway, I mean, this was an awesome show. And again, thank you guys for tuning in. We're on YouTube. Hit that like, subscribe. Our Discord is free. I dropped our Discord link in the YouTube comments as well and in the comments on Twitter. All of our content is free. We have a ton of stuff up. We have more on the way. Baseball season's not over. We got dinger props. We got strikeout props by Bales. Keith gives us a bunch of stuff too. He does some DraftKings pick 6 if you're into that kind of thing. And before you know it, I mean, I don't want to open up this can of worms, but NBA season is right around the corner, and that is a grind. At the same time, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure by January I'll be ready for it to be over. But we're almost here. So we're almost at that multi-sport overlap, which all of us just love so much. But anyway, again, check us out at props.com. For our captain, Jeff Edelstein, that's Keith Eister and Justin Bales. I'm Justin Carlucci. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, and good luck.